Failure is merely an opportunity to start over again, wiser than before. You don't need someone who tells you how to be blessed all the time. You need somebody that can preach to you and tell you, how do I get up after I have messed up?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive. We're glad that you've joined us today. In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today. Let's join it in progress, and I'll be back at the close of the program.
This message was taken from a recent Sunday service here at Pace Assembly. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers. This is Your Failure Isn't Final.
Enemy loves to play. But remember what his job is: to steal, kill, and to destroy. It is possible, believer, to sink from your failure if you don't respond immediately to the Lord. It is possible to sink into depression. The enemy jump on your shoulder with a spirit of defeat, whisper in your ear like he has mine, there is no use. You might as well quit. And you can lay there and wallow in your pain and in your guilt and in your shame and in a spirit of unforgiveness and I'm not worthy. All of that. You can wallow in the ground if you want to. But I need to take you back to the cross for just a moment. Because Jesus wasn't crucified with all of his clothes on, y'all. He wasn't crucified with a loincloth on. Oh, my God. They stripped him and beat him so unmercifully. Wait a minute. For you and me. They beat him so bad that the Bible said he was unrecognizable as a man. Wasn't some cleaned up Jesus? Wasn't some Easter drama Jesus with a loincloth on? Why did they strip him? To shame him. Why did they make him carry his own cross? So he could feel the load of our guilt. It wasn't his guilt. It wasn't even his shame, and it wasn't his sins. But he looked down the dispensations of time and saw all of us gathered in this building, and he said, I'm going to do this one time, once and for all. Oh my God. I don't know if anybody's hearing me preach this thing. I'm talking about they stripped him naked, y'all. Why did he do that? For your shame and for mine. Now, we're in a society right now that there is no shame in the game whatsoever, is there? People doing whatever they want to, wherever they want to, throwing it out there on Facebook, social media for everybody. They don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do whatever I want to do, but wait a minute. After all the likes and the comments and everything else, I can assure you that that person goes home with themselves carrying the load of guilt and shame that if you're not careful, will sink you to the bottom low. That's the reason why you can't. God never meant for you to carry your own shame. Our question, are we ashamed of anything today? I don't think so. To confirm the word that I'm preaching to you this hour, that Jesus took your guilt and your shame and all of your sins upon himself. And he, as I preached to you last week, cast them as far as the east is from the west. But there is a step to take. Please understand, church, blaming others will not get rid of your sin. Shaming others will not take away your shame. Guilting others will not take care of your own guilt. And regrets, everybody's got them. But if you'll give it to Jesus, I came to tell you your past is dead except for the life that you give it. If you keep talking about your past, the devil will keep pouring it on. Peter knew what had happened and he wept bitterly. Now you can stay bitter or you can be delivered and get back up. Look at your neighbor and tell him your failure is not final. The difference between Judas and Peter. One allowed bitterness to take control of his life and he went out and hung himself. The other, this is for you. He remembered the Lord and he remembered the Lord's words of hope. And if Jesus had just said, Peter, you're going to fail, and he said nothing else, then there would be no hope, no future, nothing for me to hang my life on. But you're in a transition, and your faith is on trial, Pete. This is the test of the silence of God. Have you ever been in that place where your faith has been on trial and you prayed to God and you heard nothing back from the throne? Am I talking to two or three people here today? I'm talking about you cried out and wept bitterly, and the more you threw prayers up, the less you heard from heaven. I want you to know something, my friend. Rest assured on the word of God. God always has the plan for your future recovery in his mind and in his words. God has not stopped having a plan. He outlined it, sealed the plans, rolled them up, and said, this is the way it's going to be. And this is what Jesus said. Peter, you're going to fail. Church, forget you. Joey Rogers, you're going to fail. You're going to blow it. And the more you're out front, the bigger the mess becomes. How can I ever recover? Peter remembered his words, and you better remember them today. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. I said, not Michael, not Gabriel. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can lose a lot of things. You can lose your house. You can lose your money. You can lose relationships. You can lose a lot of stuff. But whatever you do, don't lose your faith. Jesus said, I'm not praying for you not to go through the trial. You're going to go through the trial. And I'm not even praying that you're not going to fail, because you're going to fail. But when you fail, know that I've been praying for you and that your faith would not fail. Because if you'll keep your faith, you can get your house back. You can get your money back. You can get your relationship back. You can be back with God if you'll keep your faith. Look at somebody and tell them, keep your faith. Your faith, keep your faith. It's your faith in Christ and him crucified that will sustain you and strengthen you and tell you to get up. You're going to make it. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody and tell them, get up. You're going to make it. Oh, my God. Listen to me, church. I'm almost through here this morning. What will people think syndrome hits everybody in this room? Well, what's going to happen if I go back to church? They already know. Who cares? I said, who cares? You can talk about me and shame my name if you want to. I'm not sinless. I'm not Jesus. I need him just like everybody else does. But I came to tell you, I'm not going to let you or any other devil keep me from getting to the house of God. I'm coming in where I can get healed, saved, and delivered. Stay away from the nobody can help me syndrome. Pride that says I'm ashamed and nobody's able to help me because I've done the great big VIP sin. You're a great big VIP sinner. You're like an expert in it, right? Yeah. I'm sure that the disciples probably said this. Man, if Simon Peter can't make it, how are we going to? If the preacher can't make it. Let me tell you something. In the 80s, when high-profile preachers fell, Thousands of people walked out of the church because they had the same mentality. If they can't make it, I might as well quit now. You better look at me. The preacher's a man just like you are, or a woman. And you better realize it's the same blood. It's not a different blood. It's the same blood. You better know it's the same grace. Come on, somebody. It's the same mercy. Say amen, somebody. Satan lies when you're down and tells you your sin is too big. It's too much. Oh, here's one. You've done this too many times. You've run out of your quota. You know, Jesus only. See, the devil knows the scripture. He's throwing this one up. Well, you better calculate it because you know Jesus only 70 times 7 to him and you 490. Some of you calculated how many. He wasn't talking about calculating a number. He wants you to know that the love of God is without end. The mercy of God is without end. The grace of God is without end. In fact, you can't sin high enough that the grace of God can't get up higher than that. Come on, somebody. Your sin is so big, God can't forgive you. If he could forgive Paul, the murderer, then he can forgive you. It's been your faith on trial. Hear the word of the Lord. Proverbs 24, verse number 15. O evil man, leave the upright man alone. I want to read this one right out loud in the atmosphere. I got all kind of things running through my head right now. O evil man, leave the upright man alone and quit trying to cheat him out of his rights. Don't you know that this good man, though you trip him up 7 times, will each time rise again. Oh, you don't want to shout on that one. But the one calamity is enough to lay you low. You might want to write that down. That's another bottle of castor oil from Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16. Jesus said to Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. And all these words you need to underline in your Bible quickly. Jesus said, and when you're converted. He didn't say if you're converted. He said when you're converted. When, not if. How can he say that? Because your future is God's past. Try that on again. Your future is God's past. Let me try it again. Your future is God's past. Meaning what? God was not surprised when you blew it. He already saw it coming, and he's already planned it out enough, Peter, that when you fall to the ground, get up, converted, change your mind, convert your mind, quit thinking with stinking thinking, and believe that God has prayed for me, and if God be for me, who can be against me? Get up. I don't know how many times I've had to look Joey Rogers in the face and say, get yourself up from there. Am I talking to anybody in here? Have you ever had to look at your own self and say, quit with that pity party? God's not coming to this party. Get yourself up. Get back in there and praise God. I came to give you a push this morning in the Holy Ghost. Your failure is not final. And if God be for you, who can be against you? That's what I want to know.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon. This is Pastor Joey Rogers of Pace Assembly. As you well know, the hurricane has been a devastation to multiple areas, and Pace Assembly is on the ground in these areas with the connections to get the materials, the supplies, the food, and the help that is needed. We need your help today. It's a long-term recovery process. So if you'd like to donate toward the effort, you can call 850-202-3100 or log on to paceassembly.org and place your donation. We will make sure that every dime will get to those that are hurting. Your hands are God's hands. Would you donate today? And from all of those that are in the hurricane-affected areas, God bless you.